In the name of Jesus, welcome. Welcome, especially those of you who are guests among us this day. God bless you with the peace, light, and love of Christ Jesus that we as people of Queen Anne Lutheran Church experience each time we gather in God's holy name. Today is a special feast day, All Saints, and we remember our beloved ones who are saints above, and this morning as saints below, we lift our voices in prayer and praise to God for rich lives and their blessings to us. If you brought a photo and haven't had a chance to bring it up, please do that now, and I am happy to assist you with that. Otherwise, thank you for those of you who are sharing your loved ones with us this day. At this time, I invite you to rise as you're able in body and spirit. Turn to the back to the font for our opening confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, our refuge and delight, our beginning and our end. Amen. Let us come in truth before the one who loves us and has freed us from our sin. Eternal One, robed in majesty and mercy, these words are trustworthy and true. Christ bore our sins once for all on the cross, swallowing up death forever. For his sake, you are forgiven, and God remembers your sin no more. Let your heart be glad again and rejoice in your salvation.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with you always. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading is from Isaiah 25 on All Saints Sunday. Isaiah sees a vision of the end of the days when God will gather all people on God's holy mountain and will prepare for them a rich feast. At this banquet, God will wipe the tears from all eyes, and there will be no more sorrow, for God will destroy death itself. A reading from the book of Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all people, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Word of God, word of life. Please join me responsively reading the psalm. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who dwell therein. For the Lord has founded it on the seas, established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord, and who may stand in God's holy place? They shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of their salvation. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Okay, and the second reading is from Revelations 21. Here is a vision of the new heaven and new earth, in which God resides fully with God's people, so that mourning, despair, and pain have been eradicated. These renewing words from the God who spans all of time are trustworthy and true. A reading from the book of Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who is seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench, because he's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
I want to link this gospel with another that is set in Bethany, a village just a couple of miles from the bustling Jerusalem where Jesus, Mary, and Martha are gathered at the home of Lazarus. Yes, the very same Lazarus. Raised in the dead Lazarus. And on this night, we also know that Judas was present. And so I presume at least some other disciples were around. But the story focuses only on Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, who, we are told in the previous chapters of John's account, are loved by Jesus. And yet, none of these three are considered disciples of Jesus. They're his friends. Not long before they had all gathered together for this dinner, when Jesus had heard of the death of Lazarus and he was grieved, when he witnessed Mary and Martha weeping over Lazarus' death, Jesus also wept. And in a scene that I imagine was just as bizarre for those present as it is to us, Jesus raised his friend Lazarus back to life. This was a resurrection. And up until the dinner they are gathered for in today's gospel, this was the last time they all hung out together. So, picture this reunion gathering with Lazarus sitting at the table, The big elephant in the room still may be reeking of death a little bit. And then we don't even get a word out of Lazarus in this story. I imagine he must still have been a little traumatized, maybe aware of his own stench and the lengths which were gone to bring him back to life. And Martha is there, and not knowing what else to do, she hides her control issues and anxiety under the guise of hospitality, making sure that everything is just so, and that everyone is served and taken care of. Maybe you have a little of Martha in you. And Jesus is also present, of course. And he doesn't make any bold declarations during this specific encounter, but I'm sure his words from before are still echoing in the minds and hearts of all present. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And to that proclamation, it was Mary who replied, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." And now, when everyone else is doing their best to be cool with the obvious tension in this reunion, it's Mary who takes action. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. Mary did what? Why? What an unusual thing to do. But, okay, you do you, Mary. And she did. This Mary, in all of her encounters, is honest and authentic. And maybe a bit oblivious to social norms or the reactions of her peers. Why, when Lazarus died, she basically blamed Jesus, saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And she cried out this accusation as she was on the ground, kneeling at his feet. And then, as we know, Jesus proclaims that he is the resurrection and the life. And in case those present needed proof, bam, Lazarus. But as it turns out, healing the sick and raising the dead and calling yourself the Messiah doesn't go over so well with the religious leaders. And the chief priests and Pharisees, from this point on, then call for Jesus to be arrested. Jesus kind of goes into hiding, and Mary must have felt some responsibility for this. So what does she do? When all are gathered for dinner and no one knows quite just what to say or to do, Mary returns once again to the feet of Jesus, where she had cried out to him to save her brother. And he did save her brother. And now, as they both are becoming more and more aware of that he will die. So she grabs some fancy perfume made of pure nard, which was used to prepare bodies for burial. And they just happened to have some on hand. Perhaps it was intended for Lazarus. At any rate, the aroma of this particular perfume would have evoked thoughts of death for those who shared this space. And so we can't help but wonder, well, why is Mary using it now on Jesus when Jesus is still alive? It seems Mary is choosing to disregard not only the sentimental value of using up this precious bottle of perfume, but its financial value, which Judas is quick to point out. Two thoughts. First, I think maybe Mary helped inspire the Con Mari method. Or shall we say the Con Mary method? If you're not going to use it, what are you keeping it for? Resist the clutter. But beyond that, I think Mary understood the spiritual significance of spending. I think Mary understood the spiritual significance of spending, which we too often think of as wasting. I guess sometimes it is. So believe this or not, as I've been sitting in your pastor's office for the last month and a half, I've noticed a few books on the shelves by the theologian Paul Tillich. So I cracked one of those books recently. And Paul Tillich says, the history of humankind is the history of men and women who wasted themselves and were not afraid to do so. They did not fear to waste themselves in the service of a new creation. I'm sure many of you are also familiar with the author Annie Dillard. Annie Dillard, echoing that sentiment, advises her readers to spend the afternoon. You can't take it with you. What are we keeping the good wine in the cellar for? Why aren't we taking every opportunity possible to do things we love with the people we love? To read, to go outside, to have dinner with friends, to reach out to those we love. Why does it always feel like such an ordeal to do these simple things? Life-giving things. It's not supposed to be like that. What makes life special isn't that these opportunities are rare, it's that we embrace them. And Mary is going to embrace Jesus in this moment. It's our friends and our families, those in our community, who raise us up and lift us to new life. And it's our friends, our family, and those in our community who draw near to us and remain with us when we suffer and when we are faced with death. So Mary, thankful for the life and gifts of Jesus, while acknowledging his approaching death, anointed Jesus' feet with the perfume. And she lovingly wiped his feet with her hair. We can only speculate as to why she used her hair and not her hands and a towel. And there's certainly a lot of speculation out there. But it does feel significant to me that the perfume and its scent will likely remain in her hair for some time to come. The fragrance will linger. And in this way, she's able to hold the moment and to hold Jesus close to her. Her actions have transformed this perfume, which is used for the dead, into a relic and a reminder of the life of her friend and Savior Jesus. A true waste would have been actually to not have used the perfume and to have just let it sit on the top shelf, collecting dust. But instead, Mary anoints Jesus. And meanwhile, the perfume is lathered into her hair, making it a part of her very own being. That's Mary. And then we have Judas, who witnesses Mary's extravagant gesture, and he scoffs at her. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Judas says this because he's been paying attention. Jesus has been saying over and over again to his disciples and everywhere he went to care for the poor. And Bethany was also known as a place that served the poor and the sick. So it was politically expedient for Judas to protest the financial value of the perfume, that it should have been given to the poor. But as the gospel writer points out, the poor were not his concern. He was greedy and would have kept the money for himself. Now, truthfully, I think Judas probably felt left out again and became embittered. Judas, although a conflicted character, was close to Jesus. But he didn't feel as close to Jesus as Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, at least not in this moment. Judas was Jesus' disciple, and yet Jesus sides with Mary, saying, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." And this is the truth that only Mary seemed to be aware of. And this truth, not a neglect of the poor, moved her to embrace Christ in that moment. And it's a good example for you, my dear sisters and brothers in Christ, especially as we remember our beloved. What will it take for us to spend our days with purpose? To acknowledge those who are grieving and dying, and to take action. Whether the moment calls us to resurrection and new life, or, as is often the case, to make a gesture, to do something, and anoint the grief of another. In Jesus' name, amen. God has made us children through our baptism into Christ. Living together in faith, hope, and love, we confess our faith. We believe in one God.
We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for all your servants, witnesses of times past. For Miriam and Joshua. And martyrs in every time and every land. In your mercy, give us, as you have given them, the hope of salvation and the promise of everlasting life.
We remember those who, together with us, stood at the foot of the cross, who heard the Easter truths at the empty tomb, and who have gone before us into the depth and mystery of God. Carlton Bryant, Mary Jean Bryant, Guinness Bryant, Robert Scott Barrick, Minna and Joseph Waltersdorf, Dorothy Godfrey, Alexander Eschenko. Marty Derrickson, Irene and Jack Knock, Ed and Betty Aubink, Carolyn Hockman O'Connor, Tina Holland, Marciano Mungia, Joan Bain. Lester and Mary Reese, Mary Elizabeth Mabel Pfluger, Harriet Jean Haycup, Lori Berry, Charles Berry, Mildred and Donald Castle, Art and Janice Stamey. Helen Shoemaker, Sophus and Hannah Knutson, Richard Svari, Archie and Betty Morrison, Nancy Prout, Clara Sponheim, Anne Hoch. David Magiera, Ruth Bristol, Shirley Gangsty, Richard Gangsty, Malcolm and Lois Unseth, Jonathan Malcolm and Minda Unseth, Stephen Norman. Carolyn Norton, Dan Dietis, Esther Dietis, Dwayne Bach, Pedro Escobar, Julieta Leon Escobar, Gladys Escobar Leon. Fanny Escobar Leon, Nestor Javier Escobar, Ruben Duke, Vernon Wicker, Patricia Sobeck. And others whose names are not written in this book that we name aloud at this time. And the peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of that peace with our neighbors.
Be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the witness of the saints, you show us the hope of our calling, and strengthen us to run the race set before us, that we may delight in your mercy and rejoice with them in glory, and so with the church on earth, all creation and all the saints, with the choirs of angels, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Be holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Is he who comes in the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
In the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given into death for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "Take, drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Knowing that we are loved, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven,
forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. The kingdom and the power and the glory are yours. Amen.
Come and taste the joy of God. Opposite side. Okay, yes. Faithful God, you have spread before us a feast of rich food and drink in the body and blood of your Son. Now send us out to labor with you in service to the world you have made and among the people you have made your home. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Again, a warm welcome to all of you, newcomers and guests especially. We are richer for your presence, and we invite you to come again. And if you have time following the service, as you exit the narthex door, it'll put you right into the lobby where you'll smell fresh coffee brewing and some treats. So wonderful. Thank you again to Reverend Dr. Richard Rouse, who is with us for our adult forum. A super timely topic, not only for the present, but for the days to come, I'm afraid. There are copious notes that he prepared for us and a very extensive bibliography that we will continue to make available to church folks who weren't able to be at the very studied and deep conversation this morning. Thank you again. Rich, and yes, and then Jim, and a couple of more, so please, thank you.
Well, as most of you know, this last Friday and Saturday was our LWR in-gathering, where Western Washington churches bring quilts and kits to be collected and put into trucks and shipped to a warehouse in Baltimore, and then ultimately overseas. So I'd like to thank all of you who participated in this. Some of you made quilts and kits. Some of you donated money. Some of you helped load the containers, direct traffic, other kinds of logistics. We loaded about 2,500 boxes. We filled two containers, so it was really good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Jim has a word about our service at All Pilgrims Church. Thank you, Jim.
Hold tight, there's a lot to announce. This is the busiest month for social action in the community. So good morning, everybody.
Morning.
When I walked to church this morning, the first thing I saw coming up the sidewalk, I looked at the peace poles, and you can see written right down there, I don't know if you noticed this, get out and vote. It's good advice. Now, if you're feeling angst about the election, sometimes the best anecdote is to get busy and to spend some time out in the community helping others. And coincidentally, on Tuesday, it's the first Tuesday of all the Tuesdays of the month in which we will be serving lunch at Community Lunch on Capitol Hill. There are two shifts. We thank you so much for everybody who signed up. We've got some pretty good coverage. There are a couple of slots still left open for the first two Tuesdays of the month. The last two are a little bit open, so I'd encourage anyone to who's thinking about spending some time helping the community to sign up for those in the Narthex, or you can talk to me afterward. I'll be there on three of the Tuesdays, and on the last Tuesday, which is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, afterwards, I'm going to come back here to church and collect bags of groceries of non-perishables for Thanksgiving dinners for those mostly elderly people who are homebound in the community here. We had this is being done by Queen Anne Helpline. We had a great outpouring of generosity last year when we delivered 24 bags of fixings for non-perishables for Thanksgiving. So we're hoping to have a good showing again this year. These bags can just be brought in to church, and the ingredients, the things that we'll be delivering, again, non-perishables, is listed in the quill. Related to Queen Anne Helpline, the Taste of Queen Anne is this coming Saturday, We have gratuitous, I think they charge $150, but they're paid for. We have a table that's been volunteered for us, and there are still a few seats. So consider this wonderful event to benefit Queen Anne Helpline this Saturday. Some great eats from the Taste of Queen Anne. And I think the fourth and final thing, thank you for your patience, is this is the last Friday of the year in which we'll be preparing dinners for New Horizons ministries serving unhoused youth in Belltown. We've got a lot of the dishes covered for. This is the last Friday of the month right after Thanksgiving. We still need a main course provided, so please consider doing that and let me know if you would like to do so. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim, for all your hard work behind the scenes organizing this. So I think I'm going to be there on the 12th and 19th on Tuesday helping to serve. And if you've ever done it before, or if you haven't done it before, please know that you will prepare yourself to give, but you will receive so much more in return by participating. Dr. Lin has some good words for us.
Good morning. This Wednesday is our first sip and silent read, where we will have wine and non-alcoholic beverages available for purchase. Bring your favorite book. It'll be in the narthex. We'll sit. We've invited a lot of community members. I hung 100 door hangings this last Friday. I walked 3 miles. I was really proud of myself. And so we're hoping to provide a space of calm in the community where people can be together without the pressure of having to talk about politics anymore. And so we'll start with a silent read. It will be followed by a reading, the world premiere reading from Mother of Rome by Lauren Baer, which is going to be published this January. And then there will be some time, if you do want to chat with the people around you, to maybe meet some people from the community, get some recommendations for books that you might want to read in the future. And Queen Anne Book Company will also have a table available of curated books that they've put together, both about mythology, about stories told from the perspectives of people not usually told. Hopefully it'll be a good place for us to come together as a community. And my mom might even come. So, you know, if Linda's driving all the way up from Tacoma, you can make it on Wednesday. So hope to see you there.
All right. It'll be a special time together for sure. Finally, thank you to those of you who beautified our worship this morning with photographs of your loved ones. Please don't forget to take them home. If you do forget, it's okay. We'll take care of them for another week or so. But anyway, please come up after the service. Many moving parts that make Queen Anne Lutheran a vibrant congregation and an important partner in the community. So thank you for all you do. And I know I said it last week, I can't believe my time with you is moving by so quickly. You'll always be in my heart, and we'll continue to worship and praise our God together and serve the needs of folks around Seattle. Please rise as you're able for the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.